Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I feel it in my soul. I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I'm a survivor.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, joined today first from his study, Patrick McDonald. Hello, Patrick.
What's going on, fellas? Good to see you guys. Rick, it's good to have you back. We missed you for the RSM Classic. Hope you had fun over there in Sea Island, but I'm glad you're in the hosting chair today.
I thought you did a fine job. I thought you were, I texted you or I sent you a message. I said, you impress me more and more every day, and I stand by that.
Stop it. I'm blushing.
Kyle Porter is here. KP. Hey, bud.
How we doing?
We're doing.
It's a lot happening today. It's the U.S. men's team wins. I've got normal sport coming out in a week. We got Phil popping me on Twitter. I thought a really kind of informative Tiger presser compared to, maybe not compared to just pressers in general, but compared to Tiger pressers. I thought there was a lot of information that we could talk in here for 2 hours about all of it. So it was kind of a low key busy day.
Let's start there. Tiger Woods has his presser before the Hero World Challenge. Now, we found out yesterday that he was not going to be playing in the event. He has plantar fasciitis, which is a honestly quite devastating type of foot injury. A lot of pain, Patrick. And the way that Tiger described it is that only rest will fix this problem.
Yeah, I tweeted out today, actually, or yesterday that I accidentally Googled feet pictures on my work laptop, and I have an HR meeting tomorrow.
Unfortunately. Oh my gosh!
but yeah, I'm not too well versed with foot injuries. I heard producer Troy was telling me that Rick, you actually had plantar fasciitis back in the day.
Yeah, I had it about 5 or 6 years ago. It's horrible.
Well, how long does the pain? Like, I presume, I mean, Tiger's threshold for pain is extraordinary.
Mine is much lower.
for sure. I didn't doubt that for a second.
Don't sell yourself short.
I'm just wondering how long it lasts, how painful it actually is. Like, what was that like?
I think there are a lot of degrees. Like, it can hurt a little bit. It can hurt a lot of bit. But mine lasted probably 6 weeks or 2 months. And okay. I would describe it as two things. Sometimes it feels like you are like stepping on a razor blade, like the middle of my foot. It was almost like it was being like cut in half. It was that type of pain. And then like the heel, almost like you're like stepping on like a tennis ball or a lacrosse ball. Maybe a lacrosse ball is better because it's harder. And it's just like that all the time. And literally the only the doctor was like, yeah, just like, you just can't use it. I'm like, well, it's my foot. That's going to be, a little difficult. And it's just rest is the only thing that fixes it.
Sorry, I thought you were going to say something, Patrick.
No, you're good. Trust. I mean, I've talked enough about feet for a lifetime, probably, past couple of days, but he did say in his press conference that he tried to walk on the beach to kind of simulate Albany, and he was like, didn't like that.
Yeah, that was a pretty good impression. He's always talking about walking on the beach. He did this with with Jim Nance at Riviera in February. He's like, well, you know, I've just been walking on the beach to get ready for the Masters. And you're like, this is the dumbest sport of all time. But he loves talking about walking on the beach. I thought it was a little bit of a flex for him to say, listen, I've got every shot. I can hit any shot you want. I just can't walk, which is, as was pointed out many times on Twitter, the opposite problem that the rest of us have.
So there's so much to go through here. And I guess, as we've known for a while, Patrick, the Tiger Woods recovery it's not straight linear up and to the right. There are setbacks. There are things that, as he goes through what he calls as the ramping up process, like he's going to run into issues. That's what he was talking about. He was ramping up to get ready for this event, knowing he was going to have to walk a lot. And that's kind of what caused this. And he said himself, it's probably 1 or 2 months of rest.
Exactly. And I think 7 competitive rounds in what, 3 weeks was always going to be a long shot, even though, you know, as golf fans and, you know, with Tiger, you kind of take logic out the window sometimes, but it was always going to be a stretch, especially considering he only played 9 this entire year. Had to withdraw in the 3rd round of the PGA Championship after that too. So yeah, it's kind of the new norm, you want to say, with Tiger Woods, where, you know, he might be ramping up for Augusta and something like this happens, you know, God forbid it doesn't, but it's, you don't really know what to expect just given his leg and, you know, leaning on other parts of his body where it's going to affect other parts of bodies now, kind of with the foot.
He also disclosed just kind of in a part of a response, Kyle, that he had a few other procedures, or specifically 2 other procedures done this year that we did not know about until he said it. And then he would not really give any more information about that.
Yeah. Very normal stuff to just randomly drop that you'd gotten 2 other. I mean, it's a little bit emblematic of sort of what Patrick was saying, is like, this is just where he's at in his career. You know, he had a quote about his leg today. He was talking about, I think, the plantar fasciitis, but effectively he's just talking about the leg as a whole. And he's like, I don't know how much there is left in there, you know? And that's sort of like, man, you don't really hear Tiger talk that way very often. But I think the thing that has sort of gotten obfuscated by the leg, Rick, is the back. You know, think about, like, for 4 or 5 years, that's all we talked about was his back, his back, his back, his back. And then all of a sudden he gets in this car crash and we act like that problem went away, and it didn't. And I think that I just think that it was this time last year, I went back and looked at some of the quotes. He kind of waved the white flag of like, yeah, I'm probably never gonna do it again at a major, right? And he sort of alluded to that today. He was like, well, maybe I catch lightning in a bottle for one of those 4 to 6 weeks that I play. I remember how to win and something magical happens. And you're like, well, yeah, maybe. Maybe I qualify for the US Open, right? Like, it's just, I think people just see Tiger's name, and rightfully so, he's earned this. They see Tiger's name and they think, man, there could still be one more in there. Well, yeah, there was, and it was the 2019 Masters. And I think people just haven't come to that conclusion yet. And that's fine that was it. Like, I think it's fine that he's going to play 4 to 6 times. And like Patrick said, there's going to be it's going to be up and down, right? Like, there's going to be some weeks he feels good and like he shoots a 68 at the Masters or at the PGA or whatever. There's going to be other weeks where he has to withdraw after the 2nd round of the US Open because he doesn't feel good. And that's just sort of what I think we're getting from this point forward.
Yeah, he mentioned moving forward, it's the majors and maybe 1 or 2 more, Patrick. That's kind of what we assumed for a long time. I still find it troublesome that the events that he's most likely to play, the events that he probably wants to play, the events that he has this great history at, are probably the ones that are worst for him right now, right? I mean, Bay Hill and Riviera and maybe at Jack's play, like, he might get beat up in these spots. He didn't play the US Open at Brookline last year. We were there. I think it was a good idea to probably skip that one. It's just, we're kind of at this disconnect of the events he's going to want to play versus the ones that he probably should be playing.
I would love for Tiger to just completely zig when everyone thinks he's going to zag. I'm talking John Deere Classic 3M Open.
I was going to say, what are the other two besides? He said, I think he said the majors and two more. Is it John Deere and Rocket Mortgage?
Bermuda.
So hold on. I want to kind of dive into that. So, I mean, what would it be? I mean, you have to look at the schedule too, right? So Bay Hill would be, excuse me. Bay Hill's the first week of March. I mean, what about the Players?
It's gotta be the majors, Riviera, and either the Players or Bay Hill.
Which if that's the case, so Riviera is mid February. The Players is the first week of March.
Ooh.
Masters is a month. I don't know, man. It feels kind of tight.
Well, Bay Hill and Players are back to back, right? Is that right this year?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So I think it's.
So both are not going to happen.
Right. So it's probably the Players, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and Torrey is what? That's in January, right?
The end of January.
I don't think he'd go Torrey.
No. You don't think he'd go Torrey over Riviera?
Well, especially because the thing about this year is it's not part of the elevated slate. I think if it was, like, that's fair, like, totally, like, he could start there, but because it's not, he seems pretty committed. I mean, we can talk about this. He seems pretty committed to the Delaware. We need the Delaware delegation, whatever we're calling that thing. He seems pretty in on that. And I don't know that he would like just kind of take a right turn to Torrey when everybody else is going to the others.
The real thing he should do, Patrick, like the thing that is also the icing on top of all of this is the fact that he's sitting on 82. Right. Yeah. And 83, another win would give him the most PGA Tour victories of all time by himself, which I think is important. He might not think is important. I think it'd be really cool. I would love to see him go play Punta Cana and try to win that. I would love to see him go to Detroit Golf Club, literally the flattest golf course on the PGA Tour. Is like 14 feet of elevation in total at Detroit Golf Club. Go walk that. I would love to see it. It's not going to happen, but I got to see Tiger get to 83.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say here. And, you know, with the Delaware delegation, TM by KP, I mean, chances are he's never going to reach 83 because he's going to be playing in all these elevated events with the best players in the world. And, you know, maybe outside of a, you know, heavenly week at Augusta or at the Open or something where, you know, he might contend, you know, best case scenario, he's probably not going to sniff that number 83.
I think that it look who it is.
How about that from the top rope? Producer Jacob in the chat.
Okay. I was getting ready to say this. He's could you go back to the first one, producer Troy? Producer Jacob has a take. Tinfoil hat says they retroactively make Hero World Challenge official wins.
They will.
You know what? This is what I was getting ready to say. They should. Mm-hmm. Because you know what's a lot harder to win than like when Sam Snead played against 16 people in the, you know, 1946 match play that lasted two rounds. You know, I'm just making stuff out. He won some garbage events. You know what's harder to do than that? Win the Hero World Challenge. Winning the Hero World Challenge is hard. And Tiger's won it, what, four times, five times, something like that? Just make those retroactive. He could make his own tournament. Stanford alumni only. It's like Patrick Rogers, him, and Matt McNeely playing. And he just beats them. And he's like, 83 wins. Here it is.
They got 82 between the three of them, you know?
Yeah, there are some fraudulent victories here on Sam Snead's record.
Yeah, read some of them.
Well, this goes back to
not to disparage one of the best ever, but come on.
No, that's about, like there's a Daniel Tosh stand-up where it was like, all right, we really calling Babe Ruth the home run king. He never had to face a 93-mile-per-hour slider from CC Sabathia.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this? The Goodall Palm Beach round robin, which was 15 players in a round robin format, Seven rounds in five threesomes, which I don't know why they came up with that. A total of 126 holes. The player earned or lost points on each hole in a match play style based on his score versus his two opponents for that round. He won that three times. Okay.
Well, first of all, that sounds like a bloodbath.
sounds like the TGL.
How many holes did they play?
126.
That is absurd. Yeah, that shouldn't. I mean,
how about this one?
Go ahead.
The Inverness Invitational Four Ball, which was a field that consisted of 8 two-man teams. That was also 100. They really liked playing 126 rounds back then. Or 126 holes. Yes, it feels like 126 rounds. He won that four times. So I just found seven very fraudulent ones.
Yeah, you're telling me those were harder to win than the Hero? I think the Hero is harder to win than like the American Express. OWGR doesn't think so, but I do.
We're going to have an OWGR conversation in a second. I'm trying to think what else about this, Patrick. There was one other thing I wanted to mention about Tiger. We did the 83, his schedule. We did the procedures. He's still optimistic he's going to play the PNC and the match because he is riding in a cart. So we learned that Tiger is still doing this. So he was asked, like, why are you still doing? You don't have anything left to prove. He loves the competition.
Yeah.
He can't walk. He can hit all the shots and he will still play in a cart. The world has the Champions Tour not lowered the age to 47 and let him play starting in 4 weeks?
His disdain for possibly using a golf cart was probably the funniest thing in that press conference. It was asked once. He had to ask the PGA Tour guy up there. He was like, what did he just ask me? And then he asked it.
Yeah, he could definitely hear that question. He just wanted someone else to repeat it and just like needle that guy.
And then someone asked it later and he's like, absolutely not. I'm not going to use a golf cart. But, you know, in those events, they're sanctioned. So, I mean, PGA Tour champions, would he want to play there? Do you think he would at this age?
Well, I don't know. But what if he just, if he wants the competition, what if it's twice a year? They're only, for most of them, besides the majors, are three rounds. There is no cut. You get to have a golf cart. If you want to compete and you like want to see if you're, and you want to see if your game's in shape and they gave you a, just give him 25% of the tour. Who cares? Like, right? I mean, the purses would 10x. Who cares? He wouldn't play twice a year.
I don't know. I don't know if Tiger Woods wants to play against his old buddies yet. I think he still thinks he can, like Kyle said, lightning in a bottle, like once, you know, maybe twice a year with the young guys. I think he still to himself wants to prove some.
The cart thing, Tiger was smirking. Wow, Patrick's gone. Just ejection.
Nice drop.
It's like JB Holmes at the final round of the Open that Shane Lowry won 2019. Was it 2019?
I thought it was just before that.
81
that
feels, in the
feels like so much longer ago.
I think he shot 81 in the final round. So it was with Koepka and he was taking like 10 minutes to putt and Koepka was like, I'm leaving for live. That's when he decided.
don't ever compare me to JB Holmes.
Please. I forgot what I was talking about. I don't even, the car thing. He was like, he was definitely beyond smirking. I think he was scoffing and he was borderline sneering at anyone who brought up a golf cart. It was unbelievable. Like he is so, I think one thing that people don't realize about the cat is that he's so principled. Like he believes what he believes and you can't get him off of it. Right. Like he's a little old school in that way. And that like, he doesn't, you know, I think it's a very modern, I don't know if it's modern. I think it's maybe more of a modern thing to like have your mind changed on stuff to kind of shift on some of your viewpoints. Tiger is like, no, like I'm principled. This is what I believe. He's dogmatic about it and you can't change his mind. And I think that's a pretty cool trait in a lot of ways. I don't know if it's good in every way, but certainly with golf carts. And even when he was talking about Liv and like, I mean, these guys, they're not going to play major championships. I mean, what are they doing? You know, like he's just very, very principled about like what he thinks about life and the sport and his world and everything. And I think it's pretty interesting to like watch him talk about it.
We're going to continue this conversation because there was a completely different side of this Tiger presser from this morning, but I'm going to leave you with this one before we go to break. Sam Snead's 13th career PGA Tour victory, the Westchester 108 hole open. I'll give him credit for this one because this was a field of 250 golfers that they, for the first day, they just said, okay, if you're a weaker player, you got to play on day one. The top 150 then got into the second round. They cut the field down after the fourth and fifth days, playing 36 holes on both. Sam Snead was 10 over par and won by two shots.
I mean, it sounds preposterous, but if you're playing 108 holes, like I kind of got to give you like some kind of credit.
That's right. We'll give him credit for that one.
Hey, producer Troy, can you pull up this latest comment? Cause it's hilarious. Tiger was the kid in class to remind the teacher about homework. 100%. I finished this 4 days ago. Why are we not turning it in? 100, like that absolutely happened in every grade, at every level. He was the kid reminding the teacher about homework. He's principled.
We're going to get more Tiger Woods quotes, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello everyone, it's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean, outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
And we're back. Okay. There were two types of questions this morning. Tiger, how you feeling? Tell us about your body. Tell us about the state of your game. Yada, yada, yada. We've covered that. Tiger, how do you feel about the state of golf and everything that Liv has done over the course of the last 18 months? And Tiger offered a similar refrain, Patrick, that Rory McIlroy did just a few days ago in regards to any type of compromise, any type of coming together, any type of negotiation. One thing has to happen first, that Greg Norman can no longer be involved. So now Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods have both called for Greg Norman to no longer be the face, or at least the guy, I don't know, in charge, running, whatever you want to call it over there at Liv.
Oh, Greg, I think he brought this, you know, he had a quote right before Rory first called him out where he said the PGA Tour guys like Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy should thank Liv. And I wonder if he had never said that, with this kind of offensive from Tiger and Rory and presumably the rest of the PGA Tour guys, once they get asked about this, you know, do you think, I don't know, like, John Rahm, he said Greg needs to leave too. Do you think other top players will start saying Greg Norman needs to go? And then essentially that'll force Liv's hand and get this guy out of here. But what Tiger also said was, you know, not even he knows what this compromise is going to look like. And I know Kyle has posed this question a ton on this podcast where no one really does, right? I think Tiger said maybe it's they're a recognized golf organization. Maybe that's their end goal. But they have so much money where they're just going to, you know, potentially keep pouring more and more year after year. And yeah, I'm with Tiger. I'm with, you know, you guys as well, where I don't know what this compromise looks like. I don't know, you know, like Patrick Reed's never going to be playing the Genesis Invitational with, you know, Rory and Tiger. That's not going to happen, presumably. So it's all interesting. It's all great to talk about, you know, this compromise. You know, we need peace in the world of golf, but what is that? You know,
well, yeah, I mean, I've been saying that for 6 months now. It's like, it sounds like a reasonable thing to say, but then when you start like diving deep on it and kind of getting into it, you're like, well, what is that? The compromise for them sounds like they just want Greg Norman to be gone, right? Like it's like, oh, we're trying to be reasonable. Get Norman out of here. Like that's the extent of it. And you're like, well, okay, what does that do for me? And I don't know that either party is really incentivized to compromise, right? Like maybe Liv is if the tour was said, okay, listen, we'll increase our minimum events that you have to play to be a member to 18, and we won't block anybody from playing. Liv would be like, okay, great. But then are guys going to play 36 weeks out of the year? I mean, I just, I don't know. What the tour comes to the table. Joseph LaMagna was talking about this on Twitter today. It's like, what is the tour going to, like, what are they getting?
Right.
Like,
if you're
not going to schedule an event the week of Memorial or what?
Yeah. Or like, okay, you guys can play 4 to 6 event. Like there's not enough incentive for the tour to say, okay, we're going to get Brooks and Bryson and whatever back for 4 to 6 weeks a year with, I just do not see a side in which the PGA Tour gets enough out of this.
Yeah.
Well, because get back what you're saying, they would then be giving up. Like if they said, oh, well, if they did the European Tour thing where it's like, oh, well, you only have to play 5 times a year, right, to be a member. Well, that gets Brooks and Bryson back, but it releases everybody else, right?
Right. Yeah, and that's you'd lose Cantlay and Zan, like you just lose everybody, right? Or they would go and play 14 events on LIV and however many on the PGA. There's just – it's one-way traffic. There's no way this works for the tour.
When they say, real quick, Patrick, and maybe you can answer this, when they say compromise, are they talking about the PGA Tour and LIV, or are they talking about like the OWGR and LIV? Because I don't know. I haven't talked to Tiger and Rory about this, obviously, but like I don't know what people mean when they say compromise between the PGA Tour and LIV.
Yeah, and I think like with the PGA Tour and LIV, it's really just, like Rick said, one-way traffic where LIV's just going to be poaching players from the PGA Tour. So, one, why would you even want to compromise with them when they're just stealing your talent or attempting to? So I think at first glance, a lot of people just assume it's the PGA Tour and LIV just because they're the two golf tours. But Tiger did kind of bring it up today where, you know, they want to be kind of a real organization, a real golf league. And so maybe it is with the OWGR, and you know, you've seen kind of guys lighten their stance where I think Homa, Cantlay, Rahm have all been like, yeah, eventually down the road they should deserve OWGR points, but they got to tweak a few things here and there. So maybe you're right on that account.
The OWGR thing, this can be a segue, Rick, if you want to start talking about it. I think it's interesting with LIV because the reconstitution of the OWGR points, which nobody wants to get into those details, but I mean, for LIV, like the points are going to be like, there's not going to be many points available with the players they have and how small the fields are. I mean, John Rahm's complaining about the European Tour points. It's like, what would LIV's look like with the guys that they have? It wouldn't be very pretty. I mean, even if you gave them to them.
This, we can pat ourselves on the back here. When I say ourselves, I mean like literally everyone in golf media who knew this the OWGR stuff to this point has played out exactly as everyone expected it would, that they weren't going to get points immediately. And that by the time they do potentially end up getting points, which I do think is still to come in the future, it's going to be too late for a lot of guys. Sergio just dropped out of the top 100 in the world for the first time in 2 decades. And they are not going to earn enough points themselves, and they are going to need to supplement it by all banding together and going to play some other event somewhere. It's just like, this is the OWGR stuff is playing out exactly as everyone knew it was going to play out.
Go ahead, Patrick.
My take is I'm done with like Liv kind of just in general, but I'm also kind of done with the OWGR. It's like, I know there are like cool records that are out there with, you know, like Sergio, we just said he had, you know, a zillion weeks inside the top 100. I think he was Phil maybe had a longer streak.
Yeah.
Recently.
The Phil records are cool.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and that is really cool. But this day and age right now, I'm just out on the OWGR. Abolish it. Get rid of it. Have the majors have their own qualifying. Let them give their own exemptions. Let them do their thing. And then everyone go their own separate ways when it comes to the regular weeks.
I don't think you'll like that.
Go ahead. What'd you say, Rick?
I don't think you'll like a world without an OWGR.
I kind of agree. Like I don't know. I go back and forth on this. I think Patrick's right. Like if you got rid of the OWGR, it doesn't really change my world a lot. I don't know that it changes the golf world a ton. I like the world number one thing. I like that it's Tiger and Norman and DJ and Rory are the only guys that have spent over 100 weeks at world number one. I think it's interesting for record keeping. And part of me is with you, Patrick. It's like, get rid of it, whatever. The Liv can sue each organization individually if they want. They can sue the RNA. They can sue Augusta. You know, like they can just go down the list, which would be just a complete mess and just kind of a joke. But I forgot what I was going to say in favor of the OWGR. I completely forgot.
Must have been so compelling on that side of things. I just think that
here's what I was going to say. And this has been something that's been proposed to me, Patrick, is like, if the OWGR goes away, you're kind of letting Liv win a little bit, right? Like you're letting Liv kind of bully you out of this thing that, is it perfect? No. Could it be better? Of course. Could it always be better? Probably. Like there's so much nuance to it, but like the OWGR is fine. And if you let this little like 48 man league with three good players in it put the OWGR out of existence, like that just seems kind of soft a little bit. I think
I just think you need and to Kyle's point, could the system be better? Sure. Have people been complaining about the way that the OWGR ranks players since its existence? Yes. Right. Like there's always been something, and people acting like the new changes were put into place to stick it to Liv. These have been in the works for years. Okay.
Yeah.
Before Liv was a glimmer in Greg Norman's eye, these changes have been coming and everyone has known about it. So it is not like this anti-Liv agenda. Go ahead. Having a ranking system is important. Having a ranking system for the record keeping, for deferring to whether it's field qualification, for a variety of reasons, having a ranking system is important. Whether this is the best we can do, probably not. We can probably do better, but like you've got to have something.
I want to set you up on this, Rick, because I'm curious about your take. But real quick, some people that are pro Liv have said, well, just use DataGolf. Great. Sure. Let's use DataGolf. But you're not going to be real happy when you find out that they don't use wins as part of their formula, because that's right. Your whole thing is like, oh, Cam Smith, he wins everything. It's like, well, it's great. It ain't part of the formula. He's like 15th in strokes gained. So all you Liv boys are not going to like that system. Rick, I want your take, because this is what Tiger was saying today, and it's what Rom said 2 weeks ago about Dubai, where you had, again, it's the horse-sized duck versus 100 right. Duck-sized horses. Rom was arguing, hey, it's really hard to win against six top 25 players, seven top 25 players, whatever it was. That's harder than 156 guys in a field. And Tiger, I think, was agreeing with him today. And Rory was kind of on the other side of it and said, actually, this system is better because it's a truer measure of like just player by player ranking, or I don't know how to say that correctly, but like the rating of each player and how difficult it is to win. It's going to punish smaller fields, but that's not really that big of a deal because in the end, it kind of the numbers work out. Where do you land on all that?
So I think it's telling that Tiger and Rahm are correct that for the guys at the top, it was worse in Dubai. The OWGR does not just care about the guys that they have to rank everyone, right? Mm-hmm. And the field in Dubai was actually more generous to the guys like middle of the pack and below than in the RSM Classic. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago when it was happening.
Yeah.
So the idea that you can cherry pick, oh, well, the guy who wins should get more. It's like, yeah, okay. But then you have to also say the guys in the middle and the bottom should get less, right? So guys who win a lot, John Rahm and Tiger Woods, have cherry picked the conversation towards that side of things. While Rory, to me, has given a more holistic view, like he's been great at this, and Tiger heaped praise on him today about what he's been doing for the last year. It's like, this is about golfers one through literally what? What is the OWGR rank? 1900 guys?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you've got to do all of that. So this is a very complex situation that is not just sound bites at a presser that we should be taking action on.
Yeah, and it actually, people are like, oh, this thing's so biased towards the PGA Tour. The reality is that it actually took all the bias, as far as I understand it, it took all the bias out of the system and just said, hey, these are the ratings of all the guys. It took out the minimum, like the minimum points allocated for events. That was biased because it was subjective, saying like, well, this is one of the best tours, so they have a minimum point requirement that players can get. Well, that's just making that up, right? So this took that out. It took out the fact that you could only the only players that contributed points toward a tournament were the top 200, because that was biased. Like, that's just an arbitrary number, and now it's everybody in the field. So it's actually taking a lot of the bias out of it, and people seem to be not real happy about it. I understand Rahm's point and Tiger's point in that, I don't know, man. Like, is it harder to beat 155 guys that are like pretty good at golf, or six guys that are really good? I legitimately don't know the answer to that. And
But that shouldn't be the question, Kyle, right? It shouldn't be about beating those guys. It should be like competing in this field. Like, is it harder to finish 22nd in that field? You know what I mean?
It's
like,
why are we only 22nd looking at the RSM one?
Right. But it only ever gets framed as which field is harder to win.
Well, so you're right. You're right. Patrick, what do you think?
I'm still stewing over my abolish OWGR take over here.
Okay, so hold on. Let me tee you up on that, because there's a lot of the pro live guys. Somebody tweeted it. I don't even want to give it. I don't even know who it was, and I don't even want to attempt to give it oxygen. But the idea of not ranking tours, but ranking individual players. And Patrick, on the surface, I say, yes, sir. Let's go. Let's rank individual players. And then I peel back one layer and say, okay, if I was going to try to rank an individual player, how would I do that? I would start by the guys he's playing against, or I would start, you know what I mean? Like, that, to me, that falls apart almost immediately. As much as I would love to see it.
Yeah, wait, no.
What falls apart almost immediately?
The idea, like, remove the idea of tours, right?
It's all relative, like, to who you're playing, pretty much.
The concept you see a lot on Pro Live Twitter is, don't rank tours, rank players. Well, how do you rank players?
Yeah.
You have to rank who they're playing against.
It's what Data Golf does, right?
Well, doesn't Data Golf consider the strength of field?
Yes.
Which is the players they're playing against, which is the tour that they're on.
But that's what the OWGR has done. They're not ranking tours. They're ranking players now.
They got rid of the right. I'm never been more pro OW. I cannot believe that. This is like an absolute insane.
Rick got lost in the OWGR.
It's crazy. I can't believe we got here. Yeah. I mean, when you talk through it, it seems like this is the best version of it we've ever had.
Okay. And in me personally, I'm done with it. So where I got lost with your counter arguments, judge, jury, executioner was, it was kind of soft if the OWGR just abolishes because of this 48-man field. And my thing is, the only thing that can make LIV relevant is the OWGR. So if that's gone, right, the PGA Tour still has legacy, still has all the history in the world. DP World Tour has a bit of that as well. And LIV doesn't. So it's just not going to be relevant for the next, 30 years. And at that point, let's be real, is it even going to be around?
I actually think the OWGR, this could change. I think you're right. This could change if they start adding more better players. But man, if you assigned OWGR points to fields right now on LIV, it would not be pretty.
I was going to say, can we get Nosferatu on retainer and have him run from LIV event number one, if they were given points, what would it look like? And I do not think it is going to bear the results that the LIV guys think it's going to bear.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I actually had him run that at one of the events, Portland maybe, but that was pre what if it changed in August, right?
Yeah.
OWGR ranking or system. And it was pretty high. It was like way higher than the John Deere. I don't think that would be necessarily true anymore. And I bet some of those, when you got freaking Jed Morgan and Henny Duplessis, like just weighing the field down like an anchor. I mean, it would be, hey, producer Troy, pull up this, while I'm talking, pull up this comment from Seb Max at 4:43 PM. Major qualification has to be revamped using this new OWGR system. Otherwise, players from Asia and Africa now will have no chance from getting into, will have next to no chance to get into majors, essentially, which isn't right or fair. Well, it is fair. I don't know if it's right. No matter what the OWGR does, they lose, right? Like there's no correct answer here. And I thought, Joseph LaMagna has a really good newsletter, and he was pointing out like the way the OWGR is constructed now is way more objective and fair if you're just looking at like how good players are. But Seb Max is right. It doesn't like... I think it discourages kind of promotion from like lesser tours into greater ones. And I don't know if that's the OWGR's job, but I don't know if I love that that's the case. There was a thread, Nosferatu, speaking of, pulled a thread. This guy won like three events in a row on some kind of developmental tour, and he dropped 20 spots in the world rankings. And you're like, well,
what does he have to do to improve himself?
what's the path forward? Now, is it the OWGR's job to provide you a path forward? I don't know. I don't know what your goal is with the OWGR, or is it just the OWGR's job to rank players? You know, I don't know. I don't know that there's a right answer to that, but I think that is an interesting point by Seb Max.
I think we can at least all agree that the time, money, and energy put into the new OWGR website was horrible, and I hate it. I want the old site back.
It's so bad.
We can agree
just
on that.
Shoot it into the sun.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to transition to the hero. We've got some best bets to give, and then we'll put a capper on this week. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. still 20 of the top players in the world teeing it up this week, Patrick. So obviously, no Tiger. He gets replaced by Sepp Straka, friend of the pod. Hideki had withdrawn about a week ago. Corey Connors in for him. So we still got 20 guys. Rahm's here. Scheffler's here. Finau's hot. Xander's hot. Tom Kim back in action, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, six of the top 10. Cantlay's not here. Zalatoris was supposed to. This was supposed to be his bounce back, you know, return from injury, but not ready yet from the back injury. Rory's not. He probably been hanging with Tiger too much, let's be honest. Too many dad jokes. So he's got to get away from him before the match. But look, I know it's, you know, some call it a hit and giggle. Some say, you know, does this field deserve OWGR points or this tournament? I'm excited for it. I thought it would have been really cool to see Tiger Woods play in kind of a real tournament, right? Obviously, we do get to see him three times on our TV screens here coming soon, but this setting's just different. And I know some guys will have fun during the nights and hang out, gamble a little bit and whatnot, but I'm looking forward to it. It's kind of the last hurrah before Kapalua in January.
Some of the tee times are pretty sick, KP. Colin and Victor are kind of your anchor, your last group out at 12:39 on Thursday. First group, Tom Young, Cam Young, couple of newbies. Max Homa and Tony Finau in the all-likable group.
Yeah.
John Rahm, Xander playing together. I mean, there's some fun stuff happening here.
John Rahm, Xander is just a strokes gain bonanza. Homa and Finau was... So they were so fun at the President's Cup. I hope they get a... I hope they're a pairing... At Rome next year at the Ryder Cup. But yeah, I mean, I don't love that this tournament gets OWGR points, to be honest with you. Is there a, you guys probably know this better than I would, but is there a stated path into like how you get invited to the Hero? Like if you're in the top 20, you get an automatic invite. What does that look like?
It definitely tries to go, Patrick, off of the OWGR, but I don't know if it's that explicit as like you get an invite within the top 20 if you're still on the PGA Tour, or if outside of that I don't know. It seems pretty arbitrary to me.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. I know what everyone's still in the top 33 in the OWGR who's in this field. And then yeah, like Rick said, if you're not on the PGA Tour, maybe that gets you axed as well, figuratively, not literally. And so I'm not entirely sure.
I actually think I might have it here. So, well, okay, this is how it originally started, and I don't know if it has been how it has been tweaked since. But it used to be 16 player field, the defending champion, and the top 11 available from the OWGR, and then four sponsors exemptions chosen by the Tiger Woods Foundation. Now, obviously, we're up to 20, so I don't know how that has been tweaked over the course of the last couple of years, but something
it seems similar. Yeah, yes. Which, again, I don't know. Like, as a one-off, I guess it's fine. I don't... Before it was just kind of like, oh, that's weird that they get OWGR points. Now it's like a battleground for the Gulf War. I don't know. I wish there was a clear path, because if you could say like, hey, top 20 in the world get an automatic invite or whatever, then at least it would be more like the WGCs, where it's like, oh, play better. Sorry. Like, you get reward. Brett had a good thought in the chat. He said, just invite the pip list.
There you go.
That'd be done, kinda, deal. Yeah. That's kind of great. Although I guess that, keeps it to just the PGA Tour. So I don't know. I don't love the OWGR points thing.
As opposed to now where it's not just the PGA Tour.
Well, they've got Fleetwood and I don't know, Fleetwood. Sepp Straka. He's never played the Euro Tour. Sepp Straka is going to be on the Ryder Cup team next year, having played like six European Tour events in his life.
With a Southern twang.
That's
from Austria.
PGA Tour winner. All right, gents, let's jump into some of the picks here. So the way that we've been doing this fall, it's been a couple weeks, so let's do a little bit of a reminder here. We take our 100 nuggets over to Caesars, and we allocate them 50 on a matchup, 30 on any finishing position that we want, and then 10 each on two separate outrights. So let's start with our matchups for this week. Patrick, lead the way and get us off with a winner here.
Yeah, I was in the lab on the week off, so I like Max Homa -118 over Jordan Spieth. Spieth came in last year. He had that kind of weird hiccup with Henrik Stenson where they played for the wrong tee, got a couple penalty strokes. But yeah, Homa's a top 10 ball striker, great on par fives, and I mean, he's a Tiger Woods fanboy. Let's not sell him short there. And so I think he wants to play well in front of Tiger this week. It's his first time here. Spieth has kind of been up and down. His floor is a lot lower, I think, than Homa. So give me Homa at this one.
Not worried about those, late nights, getting up, changing diapers for Max. You think he's got that newfound perspective? He's ready to rock and roll.
If anything, that only adds to his case, right? With a little nappy factor.
That's right. A little baby swag action. I'll go next because I also faded Jordan Spieth and I took Shane Lowry over Spieth. I would not be surprised to see Spieth win. I would not be surprised to see him dead last. He's done both at this event.
He has. He has.
Yeah. So good. And Lowry's just been awesome. And if you're not watching what's going on around the globe, he just won on the DP World Tour. He's playing great. He's turned into a great ball striker. So I took him over Jordan Spieth. And KP, your matchup, couple of Englishmen, they're going out together Thursday morning at 11:33. What time zone is the Bahamas in? Eastern?
I think it's one past Eastern.
11:33 local time. I'll find out.
So I think it's like 10:30. I don't know. I have Fitzpatrick over Fleetwood. I think you can make the case, that, by the way, that Lowry has had the most underrated year of anybody in the world. I don't know that I would make that case, but I think you could. Fitzpatrick is another one that I think has had one of the most underrated years of anybody in the world. I've been so bad that I actually considered making all my bets and then just like turning them upside down, just flipping all of them, which is probably what I should do. But I've got a lot of Fitzpatrick and Fleetwood in here, as we'll see here in a minute.
Well, I know that you can't win them all because you have. We'll get to that in a second. Finishing position. We've all opted for top fives. I just went with Tom Kim. He might be the best player in the world. +280. Patrick, what'd you go with?
I'm laughing at KP's card. I don't know if he knows something that we don't or anything. But I went with Tom Kim's fellow countryman, Sung J.M. Some really good golf since the end of July. He has three runner-up finishes there. I think a lot of people forget how close he was to winning the FedEx Cup playoffs, you know, right there at East Lake as well. So top five +260. I like that for someone of Sung J's caliber.
KP, you've gone with John Rahm. I'll give you a little nugget here. Last 24 rounds, John Rahm's gaining over 3 strokes per round. Last time I checked, that's pretty good.
So good. You could put anybody. I mean, you did. These are the best players in the world, and he's still going to finish in the top five. That's why it's -115. But I love it. He's playing his best golf of the year. I wish Kapalua was starting next week.
It'll be here before you know it. I'll say that it'll go fast. Kyle, I'll stay here with you. Your two outrights are the two guys from your matchup bet. So that's Fitzpatrick and Tommy Fleetwood.
Listen, I kind of picked these in a vacuum. Like I was doing a bunch of other things. And so I did my matchup, went and did something else, answered email, did my finish position, did something else. And clearly that's what I did with these last two. I'm just covering all my bases with Fitzpatrick and Fleetwood here. They're both playing great. I don't know why I faded Fleetwood in my
Fleetwood 18-1, Matt Fitzpatrick, not Fat Mitzpatrick, is what I almost said, at 12-1.
Fat. Wait till you see my best bet.
Oh, God. Okay. Patrick, you're outright. You're doubling down again on Sung J.M. and doubling down again on Max Homa.
Yeah, I'm going with a new strategy this week. You'll see with the money ball, but 14-1 for Sung J, 20-1 in with Homa in a small field. Those were prices I could not pass up.
I went with Sam Burns, 20-1. Sam Burns should have won this last year. Do you remember that? Remember how he gagged this away?
The three wood from right in front of the green, right? Took him like 5 times.
Then, yes, that is correct. But this was also, this was supposed to be the Colin Morikawa coronation number one player in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yep. 6-stroke lead.
And he never got to number one during the year. Had the worst year of his life. This is where it all went downhill.
What if he never gets there?
Right? That's what I'm saying. He, like, there's a real chance he never gets there. And he was 18 holes away with a 6-shot lead from being the number one player in the world.
But that's the Phil. Never got there, which is crazy.
He shoots even. He's in a playoff.
Worst year of his life. He was like third in strokes gained approach, by the way. I went with Sam Burns and John Rahm. I just love Sam Burns, and I think John Rahm's the best player on the planet. So Burns, Rahm, Sungjae, Homa, Fitzpatrick, Fleetwood for the outrights. Moneyball. This is where we take an extra 50. So producer Troy says here, a little extra side cash. Take it over to Caesars. Put it on anything that you want. Kyle, we'll just go here with you. What'd you find?
Well, I went with Fitzpatrick as low Great Britain and Ireland player. I don't know. Again, I picked all these in a vacuum and they all looked great. So when Fitzpatrick wins by 10 and Fleetwood finishes second, you guys are not going to be laughing anymore.
That is true. That is true. Yeah. That is true. If that scenario happens, we will not be laughing. I went with Tommy Fleetwood to finish inside the top 10. I agree. I think Tommy Fleetwood's been great. Last 12 rounds, he's like second best player in the field. He's been phenomenal. He's on a roll. Hasn't played here in a while. Last time he did, he finished third. Patrick, you are trying to end this year with a big boy, and you have found an outright to put your 50 nuggets on.
With a bang. Yeah. So like I said, the new strategy, the $10 on the outright for these kind of favorites, they don't do enough for me. So I'm putting the 50 bucks on Tony Finau, 9-1 to win, winner of 3 of the last 7, you know, runner up here before. He's just playing unbelievable golf. Give me him in a birdie fest all day.
Fleetwood top 10, Finau to win, Matt Fitzpatrick low, Great Britain and Ireland. Is that what they do? GB and I?
Yep.
Plus 140. Anything else, gentlemen, before we get out of here on the Hero World Challenge?
I don't think so. I hate all my picks, so it's definitely a tournament week.
I'm excited for Kyle to somehow make money this week. I have a feeling that, you know, he'll defy his own odds and get the job done.
I think what's going to happen is Fitzpatrick will finish like third, and Fleetwood will finish second, and Lowry will finish first, and I'll lose every single, and Rahm will finish sixth. And Rick will take his Lowry over Spieth, and I'll just go into the off season at like -$600.
So here's what we've got coming up Sunday. Obviously the recap, then we are going to enter the fun zone. We were scheming before the show all the things we have to do. We've got to do deep dives on like 9 different topics. We've got to do a trivia challenge. Patrick got really excited. Then I described the format to him and he got less excited. So Patrick, we might have you in your,
gotta read up.
your first trivia challenge. We'll have that coming up. We got a lot of stuff to do.
Undefeated lifetime in trivia on this show. Actually, no, I lost. I lost the one with Coach.
That's a lot of caveats. And you're wrong.
Yeah. We have a full docket.
Never been wrong.
I will say, if you have something you want to hear about and it's good, let us know. Tweet at somebody and we'll get that message across. But over the next couple of weeks, we'll be creative. Okay. I think that'll do it.
What's your hat?
That is a Hartford Yard Goat.
Okay. Love it.
So that is a minor league baseball team out of Hartford, Connecticut. I figured for the goat, Tiger Woods, you wear the Yard Goat. They do good merch and stuff. They're a relatively new team.
Honoring Spieth's return.
Exactly. Now that
do they have live goats at the stadium?
I'm actually pretty sure they do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go feed the goats.
Okay.
Yeah. Have at it. Producer Troy does all the hard work behind the scenes. Patrick McDonald can be found on Twitter at Amateur Status. Kyle Porter can be found at Kyle Porter CBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future. New documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.